Good afternoon, everyone. I call this Senate Education Committee to order. It is 3:30 p.m. here on Friday, March 24th. We are in the Belts Committee Room here in the beautiful state capitol in Juneau, Alaska. I'm going to ask folks to ensure that their cell phones are indeed on mute. Member present today is President Stevens, Senator Keel, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Bjorkman, and myself, Senator Tobin. Please let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. I want to thank once again the amazing Sydney and the awesome Mary Gwynn for holding down our LIO moderating and documenting today's meeting. We have a very busy agenda today. We have confirmation hearings for the appointment of Mary Carlson to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. We also have confirmation hearings for the four appointments to the University Board of Regents, Dennis Michael, Bethany Markham, Joey Crum, and Paula Harrison. We will also be having a first hearing for Governor Dunleavy's Senate Bill 97, which is based on teacher retention and incentivization. We had noticed that we would be hearing a bill to extend the Alaska Education Tax Credit Program. This has been removed from today's agenda. So if you're here for that bill, I apologize. We're probably not going to hear it today. We will be taking public testimony on the confirmation hearings. For those out in the wonderful world of the interwebs, you can submit your public comments via email at senate.education@akleg.gov. Again, that email address is senate.education@akleg.gov. For those who prefer to call in and provide their public testimony, the numbers are as follows. If you're calling from Anchorage, please call 907-563-9085. If you are here in the beautiful city of Juneau, you may call 907-586-9085. For all other locales, please call this toll-free number, 1-844-586-9085. All right, moving on to our first order of business today is the confirmation hearing for Mary Carlson. Her appointment is to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. I believe she is on teleconference. Committee members should have received a copy of Ms. Carlson's resume and application. Copies are also available by the door in our plethora of paper if you so choose to get one of those pieces. Ms. Carlson, I hope you're online. If you could please make your identify yourself for the record and make your opening statement as you are ready. Brief at ease. All right, we're back on the public record. It is March 24th here in the Belts Room in the capital of Juneau. We are going to loop back on Ms. Carlson as we are having some technical difficulties, so we'll be moving ahead with our Board of Regents confirmation hearings. I would like to correct for the record, it is Dennis Michel. Dennis, if you could please identify yourself for the record and please begin with your opening remarks when you are ready.
My name is Dennis Michel. I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska, born and raised. And I've lived the majority of my life in Alaska, except during my youth in the pipeline, I traveled to other states for R&Rs and such. And of course, then once I was married, that all ended too. So I'm not sure how much of my resume, do you have it in front of you? Okay, so I can regurgitate a lot of that information for you. Or I can just hit some of the highlights. And if you want to question, what is your preference in that respect?
Sir, it is up to you how you would like to introduce yourself to this committee and to the public.
Okay. I was born here in Alaska, in Fairbanks. My mother is from the village of Tananaw, and my dad was an Army Air Corps guy when he came to Alaska. And hence the last name with the French twang is from New Orleans. So that's why that is. I grew up in Fairbanks, part of the public school education system. I was also a member of the trades, the plumbers and pipefitters trades as an apprentice while I was going, and I served a year of college, a year at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and then I was caught in the draw of pipeline wages, and so I stopped going, I stopped my career and continued working through the union and the pipeline, and eventually became a business agent for the union on the pipeline at age 24. So that was very young for that time period. And so then I moved from there to in my own contracting business, and I've been doing that ever since in Alaska. I've worked around most of Alaska, from southeast as well as the west coast, and of course all Alaska. My main emphasis on my company is DOD work, so I've worked on most all of the federal reservation bases in Alaska. And I have another business, which is airport services, and that's at the Fairbanks International Airport. And those are the two emphases that I have. I guess I can wait for you to ask this question, but I'll tell you why I'm interested in becoming a region. Alaska's been very good to me and my family. And like I say, because of my mother's side, I have had relatives here for about 10,000 years. So we're not going anywhere, probably. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to afford other younger generations of Alaska the opportunities that Alaska gave me. And I think one of the ways to pay that back is to help out, is to help with the university and apply the knowledge that I've had in the form of business and construction. And because those are two necessities at our university, because the buildings have to be maintained. And then I'm also in hopes, because of the university, that I would be able to have a hand in the training through like TCC and other forms to help bring some of the younger people up that may not want to go to college for 4 years, but they want to learn a trade like welding or something like that. So my emphasis is that in order for Alaska to move forward, we have to have an educational system, and we have to also be able to train the younger generation to take the jobs that are necessary out there, and I want to have a hand in doing that. So that's my reason for wanting to be a university regent.
Well, thank you very much for your opening comments, Mr. Michelle. Is there any questions from committee members? President Stevens.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Michelle. You've had a fascinating life and really Alaska-centered. You know, one of the concerns I have about the university that you did bring up is maintenance of the buildings. Would you have any further discussion that you can provide us with how badly we're doing? And it seems like we are doing pretty badly in that area.
Well, Senator Stevens, I've only been about 6 weeks since I've been a regent. Okay, before I make too many statements that I'll regret that I've made, I'd like to learn more. I'm learning all the time up at the university, and also as far as the maintenance, from what I've learned, you're correct. The maintenance, especially at University of Alaska Fairbanks, needs work, needs a lot of work. And I think that if we don't do that, then we're going to end up with even a bigger tab down the road for either having to replace those buildings or, you know, gut them completely and whatever. That isn't necessary. I think a standard method of correction to errors in the buildings and such, or the buildings as they're time worn, that we could maintain these buildings and they would serve us well for a lot of years. So maintenance is expensive, but as compared to having to replace a building, it's a bargain. So Did that help you?
Thank you, Mr. Purcell. Yes, very much. I appreciate your comments, and it just seems to me that it would be good to have somebody on the Board of Regents who understands that those issues. It's not that they haven't asked for assistance, it's that we have not funded it. That's part of the problem. So look forward to your service on the board. Thank you.
And my assurance would be, if I'm on the board, the money you send us will be spent wisely on maintenance.
Thank you, sir. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I want to thank all of the governor's appointees for your willingness to serve. In particular, I want to focus on the four Board of Regents. Madam Chair, I have a question, and I'm going to ask all four the same question. So maybe if you're in the room and listening, you can listen to the question and take notes so that we can save some time. And anyway, so here's what my question is. So the various mission statements in the region's policy emphasizes the North and its diverse peoples, and emphasizes the circumpolar North and its diverse people, and honors the indigenous and diverse peoples of Alaska. That's in your region's policy. Okay. Can you tell me your thoughts about diversity in general and the role of the diversity at the university? Part two is, do you support these mission statements? And the last part of my question to everyone is, how will you as a region uphold the university's mission to honor the indigenous and diverse peoples of Alaska? Thank you, Madam Chair. You're the first person to answer this question. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate the question. I'm part Native. I've walked a walk, okay? I've had to struggle to get where I am, but the work and the hard effort has paid off, and I am extremely open to helping other Indigenous people. You know, I particularly lean towards Native because that's what I am, but I'm particularly would like to help those groups. Now, in some of my visits since I've been in region, I've visited with the Indigenous groups in UAF, and as a regent with a Native background, my communications with the students and some of the staff there, I thought was top notch, because they were willing to talk to me. They're not necessarily willing to talk all the time to regents that they don't see a common ground with. So I believe everybody should have an equal opportunity to move forward in life and have a successful life. But I also know that sometimes you have to have an edge to help certain individuals get to that stage. And I support that effort.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Other questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Michelle, for coming forward, being willing to serve. Raised a pretty good family. I know at least one of them.
Thank you very much.
So three separately accredited universities, 13 additional community campuses. I won't ask you your vision for all of those, but how about each of the three biggest chunks? Can you, I know you're new, so it probably won't get down to number of faculty, but the vision you have and the direction you'd like to push for Anchorage, Fairbanks, Southeast?
Well, I look in particular in those three. I realize how important the University of Alaska Fairbanks is to Fairbanks, not only educationally, but economically and socially. It's a very important part of my little community in Fairbanks, so I assume the other two are the same in Southeast here and in Anchorage. I just feel that the university has to keep moving forward. We have to keep, in order to remain a quality or above quality institution in this world, it's a changing world, the university has to keep moving forward. But at the same time, you can't move forward unless you got a way of paying for that. And so I think there has to be prudence, like you say, in looking over the different facilities, determining what works best for the university and applying that. I don't have those numbers because I haven't been around long enough. So
thank you, sir. Any further questions from committee members? I do have one question, sir. Do you think the University of Alaska system is adequately funded?
I've only been there 6 weeks. I've only attended one meeting, and I can't answer that question. A year from now, I'll be guaranteed I'll be able to answer that question. but I don't have the information at my hand to say that. I just can't. I'm sorry.
Well, thank you, sir. Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Michelle, thank you for being here today. As we have seen students in the Capitol through the Alaska Association of School Boards and other groups and my own students that I've taught on the Kenai Peninsula, they have mentioned concerns with the University of Alaska system and its quality because of cuts that have been made over the last 4 years. And students are identifying our own hometown university system here as not being a desirable place to go to school because of the degradation of the quality in educational programs that has happened in the last 4 years. Would evidence like that from students who are choosing to go to college this year and in sequential years, would evidence like that inform your opinion about whether or not the university was being funded appropriately?
Well, absolutely. That's the base information I was talking about I'd like to go out and gather. But, I personally feel that the University of Alaska system is in a unique location in the world with current world events. And so with the contracts and stuff with different agencies that the university is capable of attracting, I believe that some of those problems you're talking about could be moved forward as we move University of Alaska to even a higher degree of world class. And so that's what brings the students. It's the pedigree you have when you're done from which university that makes a difference. And I think the University of Alaska, though, is in a unique position that even though it's had some issues with funding and financing and problems, they're in a unique position to push forward. And that's important, because like any other institution, you're either moving forward and progressing or you're falling back. They're standing still doesn't ever work. So that's my position.
Thank you for the answer. Follow-up?
Follow-up.
You mentioned earlier in your testimony today before our committee that the university could not move forward unless there was the money to do so. Do you recognize the tension between funding and the ability for the university to move forward?
Well, I come from the business side of things. Okay, I started the business 40-some years ago, and it's done well for me. But I understand that in order to move forward, even in business or the business of education, you have to invest in that. Now, before you invest, you need to have an idea where the money's coming from, because otherwise you end up in an awkward situation where you accomplish little or nothing. But no, I believe that the university will need funding to push forward. And I would really, truly love to see the university move in a positive direction. I think in the meetings I've had with the President Pitney and the Regency, that I believe they're headed in the right direction. So in answer to your question, I think that you will see that some of the things that those individual students had talked about will be disappearing as the university moves forward. So,
any other additional questions from committee members? My last question for you, sir, is at its core, the UA Board of Regents is a governance board. And so I'm curious about what is your personal philosophy on service, community service, public service, and also on protecting the public trust, particularly in this role in a state governance board?
I do public service away from the board too, so I believe strongly in public service. But the universities are an integral part of our cities and our communities, and so that has to be kept in mind when we're taking activities or instituting policy. And so, yes, I believe that's very, very important, because, long after all of us are gone. Hopefully that university's there and is doing all the good things that we're going to have it doing. So.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Seeing no other questions from committee members, I'm going to open public testimony. I've now opened public testimony. Is anyone here in the room wish to testify? Seeing none, we'll move online. I'm going to look at Sydney here, and I see a shake of the head, so I see no individuals identified for testimony, so I'm going to close public testimony. At this time, we are going to move on to the next individual. We're actually going to roll back up to Mary Carlson, but we thank you very much for joining us here today in Senate Education, and we will be doing the paperwork portion at the end of this.
Very good, and I appreciate the time and effort you had to listen to my story. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Michelle. We will now be moving back to Mary Carlson for the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Mary, if you can hear us, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your opening remarks when you are ready.
Okay, thank you very much. My name is Mary Carlson. I was born and raised in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, which is a little coal mining community up in the northeastern portion of Pennsylvania. Right out of high school, I chose to serve our country by enlisting in the United States Army. And as a result of that decision, I arrived in Alaska because that was my last duty station. I was stationed at Fort Wainwright in Alaska. I was so enamored with Alaska that I decided to stay. And I chose to raise my family here. I have three children, full grown, that are all graduates of the University of Alaska system. I'm a first generation college graduate, so that is a real big deal for me. And as a result of my own commitment to education, my sister and brother are all now college graduates and raised all of their children to think of themselves as college graduates. We now have 10 in the family, and we've broken the cycle of not going to college generationally. So I'm very proud of that. Because I joined the military, you can see that I'm service-driven, and so my professional life has been in service of the K-12 community. I served as a teacher and a elementary principal, a professional development coordinator working with Title I schools, and then most recently, I've had the privilege of serving the University of Alaska Fairbanks School of Ed and preparing the next generation of elementary teachers.
Well, thank you very much, Mary. Just quickly, so the committee has this information, which position are you seeking to fill? One of the teaching positions, one of the superintendent position, the principal position? Which one is it that you are applying for, being nominated for?
I am serving right now on the Professional Teaching Practice Commission for the as a board member for the higher ed. So that's the confirmation process that I'm involved in right now.
Oh, perfect. So you're the representative from the higher ed?
Yes.
Thank you.
But
so
I have
much.
A lot of extra background in education, as you can see.
Thank you so very much, Ms. Carlson. Are there any questions from the committee members?
Madam Chair.
President Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you very much, Mary. Thank you for your service to the country. In looking at your education and teaching, I see many years as an administrator and then as a professor. Did you actually teach in a school district? Am I missing that, or can you help explain that?
Yes, actually, I did. I taught for 4 years in Virginia, and then 4 years here in at the school district, in the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District, in an alternative program for students that had been expelled or excluded from school. And that was in grades 7 through 12.
Great. Thank you very much, Mary. And if I could continue.
Follow up, sir?
I know one of the unfortunate goals of this Professional Teaching Practices Commission is to figure out if a teacher is not doing what they should be doing, if they're improper, if they're in the wrong place. But how do you feel about that? Are you prepared to remove teachers' certification?
Well, I mean, the actual process involved in that getting to that point is quite rigorous. And I am prepared to be in a position where I understand that if a person has gotten themselves to the point where they've made decisions that would impact their teaching certification, that is incumbent upon our commission to have the discussion. And if it comes to that, the decision is to remove certification, then I am able to make that decision. But thank you for asking the question.
Thank you, Ms. Carlson.
Thank you, Ms. Carlson. One quick note, if you could please remove yourself from speakerphone, we're having some difficulty hearing you. Unfortunately, speakerphone often muffles responses. Are there any additional questions from committee members? Seeing none, I'll open public testimony on Mary Carlson. Is there anyone here in the room who wishes to testify? Seeing none here in the room, we'll move online. And I'm looking through the list and also at Sydney, and we do not have anyone online to testify as well, so I will close public testimony. Ms. Carlson, do you have any closing remarks?
No, thank you.
Senator Stevens.
Madam Chair, the Senate Education Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission and recommends that Mary Carlson's name be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. This does not reflect the intent of any of the members of the Senate Education Committee to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purpose of confirmation.
And with that, the name will be forwarded to a joint session of the Alaska State Legislature. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the confirmation committee report. And we are back on the record here in Senate Education. It is Friday, March 24th, and we are in the Belts Committee Room in the capital of Juneau. Just a reminder to folks, you can submit your public testimony to senate.education@akleg.gov. That's senate.education@akleg.gov. You can also call here in Juneau at 907-586-9085, from Anchorage at 907-563-9085. And for all other locales, please call 1-844-586-9085. We'll be taking public testimony for all of the following confirmations. With that, we now have up for confirmation for the Board of Regents for the University of Alaska, Bethany Markham. Ms. Markham, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your opening remarks when you are ready.
Thank you, Chair Tobin. Bethany Markham is my name. I have been lucky enough to be able to meet privately with each of you, so I will make my opening remarks brief because I think I've expressed some of why I'm interested in this and a little bit about my background to each of you as well. So, but for the record, I'll go ahead and give a brief background that I grew up in the Midwest and was privileged enough to receive scholarships to get a four-year degree from a land-grant university, the University of Missouri. Then I lived overseas, teaching English in Japan and then teaching at a teacher training college in Hungary before I moved to Alaska. I worked in the corporate world here. I worked in the state for the state legislature. I worked for the federal government with my military service. And then I also was able to go back and receive a master's degree at another four-year land-grant university. So my ability to be able to attend those universities and get the opportunities that life has afforded me because of that education is why I want to serve the university, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have now.
Thank you very much. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had asked a question earlier that I'm going to ask to everybody, so I'll just ask you all over again. So there are various mission statements in the region's policy that emphasize the North and its diverse properties. Peoples emphasize the circumpolar North and its diverse people, and also honors the indigenous and diverse people of Alaska, peoples of Alaska. So can you tell me your thoughts about diversity in general, the role of diversity at the university? Do you support these mission statements, and how will you as a region uphold the university's mission to honor the indigenous and diverse peoples of Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, thank you for that question. Yes, I'm absolutely in support of those statements. I was pleased to learn during board orientation that we have the Alaska Native Success Act Initiative, I believe it's called. I'm not sure that the full name of it, but I was pleased to see that that's something that is in place and that is undergoing right now the outreach to be ensure that we are able to get track tenured faculty for the university. There's also efforts with staff and then, of course, with students as well in terms of the indigenous population. And so I certainly respect and will honor the efforts to do so and will fully support those. As far as the northern portion of the mission that you mentioned, if I could make one change, if I could do one thing for the university, I would make it the premier northern latitude university. I think that's the unique special thing about the university that we can use and capitalize on. We should leverage the fact that we are in the northern latitudes. And so I think based upon the mission that you read, that tracks very closely with my vision for what the university would be, which is the premier university in the northern latitudes. So thank you, Senator Gray Jackson.
Madam Chair, I have a couple more questions. Would you like me to proceed with those questions now, or maybe let somebody else ask a question and come back to me? Thank you, Madam Chair. So earlier today, I was watching the Education Committee hearing, and during that hearing, you mentioned that the policy forum is bipartisan. And you gave an example of working on the Alaska Reads Act that was sponsored by former Senator Tom Begich. So can you give me two more examples of bipartisan work that the Policy Forum has a track record of doing?
Absolutely. Occupational licensing is one of the policies that, it's one of the policies that particularly in other states has been supported by folks of a different party than what I'm registered as. I'm a registered Republican, but in many other states, Democrats lead the reform on occupational licensing because they know that some of the communities that are most affected by onerous occupational licensing requirements are lower income immigrants who have trouble entering the workforce because of the fees and the training requirements. And so occupational licensing is one of those bipartisan reforms that we've always supported and always will. As far as the second one, there's several bills, in fact, that have been proposed by, I'll just say an example of last year. We supported Senator Wilikowski's bill for the state checkbook. We believe in transparency. And one of the other bills this year that comes to mind that's sponsored by someone from a different party than what I'm registered in, which is, I presume, what you're referring to as far as bipartisan, is the bill, I believe it's Representative Story has, to extend the Alaska Performance Scholarships to those students who want to take a career in tech education. So those are just some neat examples that come to mind.
Thank you. Madam Chair, may I ask my next question?
Follow up, Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So your fiscal policy stances generally lead toward government spending and reduced government spending and increased private investment, My question is, for the university to succeed, do you believe that the university needs less funding or more funding?
Well, through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, similar to Mr. Michelle, I've only been in this position for 6 weeks, and so we have seen the budget that was proposed, and I was pleased to see that a good portion of that budget was funded by the governor's funding that he put forward. The big portion of it that concerns me that was not funded is what we were talking about earlier. It's some of the deferred maintenance costs. And so I saw that the capital budget was definitely a lot different than what the university had proposed. I don't know enough about that to be able to say, whether or not there's other places that funding can be found, but I do know that it's something that needs to be addressed. I'm not prepared to say whether or not the university has enough funding, but I know there are a lot of initiatives that I think that would definitely need to have more funding. Again, I think President Pitney has been doing a good job of finding ways to make sure that the things that need the funding are getting it, but she can't fund everything with funds that she doesn't have. I say she, but the team that she has. And so I think it's definitely something we're going to have to look at to determine whether or not more funding is needed to be able to fill some of the gaps that have been identified.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Any other additional questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Markham, as you'll recall, I ran us out of time in our meeting and warned you that the next question would be coming. In the interest of time, maybe I'll narrow it from what I asked Mr. Michelle. But it is kind of the vision question and narrowed down. What do you see as the role and what is your vision for the University of Alaska Southeast? I'll just be frank, the regions generally pay no attention or malign attention to UAS. We're happy to get neglected is a bad place to be. So if you're on the Board of Regents, what is your vision for UAS?
I don't know enough about the full university system to say that my vision is different than that of the mission which is stated by the university, which is a regional campus vision. That is the three missions that have been explained to us is UAF as academic research and Anchorage as open enrollment and campus and UAS as a regional university. And so personally, I think that that's probably the most appropriate, I guess I would say, in the sense that there are particular fields of study, such as mariculture, that are going to be uniquely Southeastern and would be most appropriately handled by the Southeast campus. And so I at this point, I would just say I don't know enough to say more than what the university has said, which is the mission of Southeast is that which is a regional campus. And certainly if there's the opportunity to expand that and do more with that, I'm open to those ideas and I would love to talk with you about those, as well as the new chancellor who's going to be coming in shortly. So
I look forward to meeting her.
As do I.
President Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Markham, I'm going to ask you a question that you can fairly easily say, I haven't been there long enough, so I don't know. But I'm going to ask it anyway. I was a professor of history for 25 years at the university. I love the university. But I've got to tell you that over the time I've been there, on two separate occasions, studies have been made of the university compared to other universities on the west coast of the United States. And both those studies show that compared to all those universities, we have too many administrators, and we're focusing on administrators and not faculty. Now, you can avoid answering that if you want to, but if you are on the board, I would hope you would look closely at that issue. And if we are, and I know we are still, in comparison to other universities, we have much more overhead than they do. Any comments you have on that issue?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, thank you for that question, because you actually mentioned that to me. I don't know if you recall whenever I met with you. And so I followed up with your staff and they provided me with the links for those studies just a couple of days ago. So I'm definitely going to take a look at those. And I'm going to ask the board to see if we can find out if there's any newer versions of those studies. I think it's certainly worth looking into. There's no reason for us. It's incumbent upon us to look at all the information that we have as part of our decision-making process. I don't know if that is still the case or if that's a problem or not, but certainly it's incumbent upon us to get that research, look at it, and determine if any changes need to be recommended based upon that data.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Any additional questions? Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a state senator, this is my second term. I represent everybody in the community, all peoples. But as a woman of color, I want to ensure that people of color are fairly represented by the Board of Regents. So with that said, what will you do to ensure that the voices of people of color are heard and represented by the board? Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson. I think it's important that all voices are represented, and absolutely voices of color as well. So one of my jobs in the military, so you, most of you probably know that the military is a very diverse population. So I'm used to working with people of lots of diverse backgrounds from multiple countries, multiple ethnic groups, multiple languages. And one of my jobs in the military is what we call unit engagement. So my chaplain and I go around to the different units and we engage with them. We talk with them. We find out what are the stresses in their lives. How are their marriages going? You know, they just got back from deployment. How is that working out? So that's part of our job, is to keep our finger on the pulse of our troops, our airmen in the Air National Guard. And so I think the same thing should be expected of a regent, that part of my job should be going to. And we've received invitations from the chancellors, and hopefully we'll be able to attend the visit the smaller campuses and the outreach centers as well. But I think that's part of our job, is to go to talk to people, people of color, other people, to really everyone. And this is not just students, but we should be talking to faculty, we should be talking to staff, we should, these are the end users of the product that we're responsible for governing. And so it's our job to go and hear directly from those individuals, and I welcome the opportunity to do that. I welcome any of you to join me on those visits, because I think it's important that you hear directly from people in the same way that I do with my job in the military. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I do have a follow-up question to that, if you don't mind, Senator Jackson. And this is just specific to some public comments that you made at the redistricting meeting about giving over-representation to one community, Eagle River, at the expense of the community of North Muldoon. And so I'm curious about your thoughts on geographic representation and fair voice in all of these spaces. It doesn't seem to be something that you seem to have prioritized in other existence when you've been serving the public.
Thank you for that question, Chair Tobin. I believe, and I had stated on the record later, that my comments were not complete at that time and were a bit out of context. But what I had stated was that I wanted Muldoon to be able to have the opportunity to have three senators, only because of the fact that we heard from distinct groups with distinct voices, and we wanted them to have the opportunity to have as much representation as possible. And for me, the Eagle River issue was about the military. And I think I stated that, you know, quite a few times on the record as part of the redistricting hearings, that I felt like that the military deserved the opportunity, at least deserved consideration, of being districted together with the communities in which they live. So the redistricting board still has court rulings going on, so I it's probably not, you know, wise for me to opine, you know, into too many details about that, but in a general sense, I would just say that that was the rationale that I had. I was certainly not trying to give more representation or less representation to any particular body or any particular people. I wasn't trying to ensure that all the voices that we heard were going to get the representation that they deserved. So.
Well, and thank you for that. And I will say, and I'm going to say it here on the record so that I can talk with the governor at a later date, that I am concerned about the current slate of Board of Regents that are being put up for confirmation, as they are not from a diverse swath of Alaska. We don't see anyone coming from Western Alaska. We don't see some places from other remote locales of Alaska. And I'm just very concerned, as it seems to be the Board of Regents are really concentrating in one particular view and voice. So how will you work to address that?
Senator Tobin, Chair Tobin, similar to the answer that I gave to Senator Gray Jackson, I want to go and speak with people. I want to hear directly from people. There's no reason that I shouldn't be able to have direct communication with those individuals. Like I said, the invitations have been extended, and I plan fully to take advantage of the opportunities to hear from individuals. There are groups, individual groups that I can meet with, that we can all meet with. I think that we should do that as regents together, and individually we should make the effort and use that opportunity to hear directly from the students, the faculty, and the staff in all the locations, regardless of you know, whether or not they're in a place that might be more difficult to get to. We've kind of been talking about this as regents. It's a very time-consuming job, but that is part of the job, is for us to go from here to hear from people. And if we're not doing that, then we're not doing the job well. And I'm committed, as I do with all the jobs that I take on, to doing this job well. So you have my commitment that I will be more than happy to go wherever I'm asked to go and to hear from whoever wants to hear from me. If they want to ask me hard questions, you can see I don't mind doing that, and I'm more than happy to sit and speak with them. So.
Thank you. Senator Bierkman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Markham, for joining us today. In an earlier conversation that we had, you mentioned that you were comfortable with the level of funding that the governor had provided in his budget for the university. In your early testimony before this committee, you mentioned that you had concerns with the level of funding provided by the governor. What have you learned, or what has changed between those two statements?
Through the chair, Senator Bjorkman. Before I was referencing particularly the operating budget. I knew we had deferred maintenance issues, but as I looked at the budget more closely, I saw that there was a fair amount of capital, that budget that hadn't been funded, but whenever you and I spoke, I'd been looking primarily at the operating budget. So, you're welcome.
Thank you, Senator Bierkman. Additional questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Markham, I guess some questions back directly to some of the education issues. You may notice I'm a little UAS focused. It's
understandable.
A passion of mine. We have a college of education, like all three of the MAUs, and we're very proud of it. but it leads me to focus on the university's relationship with our K-12 teachers and the K-12 schools that feed us almost all of our students. And I guess I have a question about your view of public education generally. And I'll start by asking, do you view the University of Alaska system as part of the same public education system as our K-12 schools?
Through the chair, Senator Keel. It's certainly all part of the education system in Alaska. There's no doubt about that. That's the reason that the Department of Education and Early Development includes the universities, because it's part of the same system, most certainly, is my answer. Yes.
Follow up.
Appreciate
that. I hearken back to a conversation you and I had in 2014, which I don't know if you remember. I was working for actually my predecessor in this seat, and we sat on a bench outside his office in room 9 on the ground floor of this building. I don't know if you recall, we were talking about SJR 9 at the time. It was a proposed constitutional amendment. I'm glad you recall the conversation. In that conversation, at one point, one thing I love about this job is that we get passionate about issues, and Alaskans are passionate about issues, and that's a good thing. But I was struck by a comment you made about being very distraught for Alaska children who are trapped in public schools. And I wonder, I keep going over that comment in relation to the notion of you're being proposed as a member of the Board of Regents for one of our public education institutions. How should I understand that?
Through the chair, Senator Keel. I absolutely feel that there are some children that are trapped in certain schools, and it's not because it's a public school, but because it's a neighborhood school. It's the school that's closest to them, the school that they were assigned to by their zip code. There may be a school 6 blocks over that is a better fit for that student. So my concern is that students oftentimes don't have, first of all, the families oftentimes don't have the capacity to be able to put their child in. Maybe they would have to drive that child to a school 6 blocks over that's a better school, and they don't have the capacity to do that. So I feel for those families and for those students who really only have the local option for them, and I feel like we as a state can do better, whether that's transportation through open enrollment for the K-12 system. But in some ways, I feel like we need to respond to and give options to parents whenever they're trapped in a school that the outcomes are clear, are not necessarily positive for most students, but in particularly certain schools have certain ways of teaching and certain students have certain ways of learning that sometimes aren't the best fit. And again, you know, 6 blocks over, there could be a different school that has a different approach. I have an example of whenever I was in the Big Brother, Big Sister program, the little sister that I was assigned to was a very hands-on, outdoorsy kind of person. She could not sit still in the classroom, and so her father was able to get her into one of the charter schools in Anchorage, and I'm forgetting the name of the school now, but it's a STEM-based school, but they do a lot of experiential learning, and it was simply a better fit for her. So was she trapped in that school for a few years? Yes, she was. And the frustration was there for her and her family that she wasn't getting the full learning that she deserved because of the mode of learning that she was in. So it doesn't have to do with the fact that it's a public school. It has to do oftentimes with the fit of that school with the child.
Follow up,
sir.
Thank you, and I appreciate that. I'm very proud to represent districts that have generally open enrollment in many cases. But SJR9 wasn't about that at all. SJR9 was about vouchers for private and religious schools, so it wasn't about charters or neighborhood schools. And so I think those who teach in Alaska, those who are considering going into teaching in Alaska, are somewhat concerned for the approach or the potential approach of those who govern our universities with regard to our public schools, where most of them are considering teaching.
Through the chair, Senator Keel. So I guess I would say they shouldn't have a concern, because I certainly know that our public schools need to exist. We will always have a very high number, 80% percent of students are going to be in public schools. Alaska doesn't even have very many private school options, as you probably know. I think we have less than 2% of students in public schools, so in private schools. So public schools are always going to be the primary mode of us educating. Private schools, in my opinion, through the mode of competition, create better public schools. And there's data to show this. If you look at some states where there is what's called school choice or education choice, and as you probably know, there's a big movement across the United States right now for this to happen, that it's creating better schools in the public schools. And that's what I want for every student, is to have a better school that's a better fit for them, where their outcomes are going to be such that they can succeed. So I don't see that there is any conflict between having private schools and allowing parents and families to make those choices and having good schools. I think those two things absolutely go hand in hand, and there's evidence to show that that's the case.
Thank you, Senator Keel. In the advent of time, I'm going to ask my last question, and if anyone else has any comments, please flag me before I ask. But the recent Supreme Court decision that had your words about secret procedures and misinformation, I'm going to ask the same question I asked to Mr. Michel, which is about public trust. So the UA Board of Regents is a governance board. And clearly, your current track record, your previous track record, showcases that you may not necessarily hold this as high. So my question to you, what is your personal philosophy about public service, support of our public schools, and protecting the public trust?
Thank you, Chair Tobin. My personal philosophy is no different than it was, has been for my whole life, which is I have a life of public service. I think that's evident on my resume. I'm choosing to put myself forward for this position because I believe in public service, because I believe that other families, other students should be given the same opportunities that my family and I were given through the public university system. I believe that the laws that we have for open meetings are extremely important, and I have abided by those, and I will continue to abide by those. I know there are those who believe differently, but I know in my heart that we absolutely did abide by the rules and the laws in the previous board, and I will continue to do going forward. So,
well, thank you. I'm now going to open up public testimony, seeing no additional questions. Is there anyone here in the room who wishes to testify? Seeing none, we're going to move online, and we have a handful of testifiers. We're going to start here in the Anchorage LIO. We have Yaro Silvers. Yaro, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hi, my name is Yaro Silvers. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. Through the chair, I would like to ask you to deny confirmation of Bethany Markham to the UA Board of Regents. As the CEO of the Alaska Policy Forum, Markham has continually advocated for slashing university funding, which has failed policy, resulting in out-migration, worker shortages, and economic stagnation. As an example of the type of policy that the Alaska Policy Forum advocates, one article extolled the virtues of tuition freezes and spending cuts at Purdue University, without also mentioning that even after these cuts, Purdue enjoys a budget that is about three times the size of the University of Alaska system, or about $10,000 more per student in 2022. It is a one-sided piece, at best, pushing a policy agenda while not considering or presenting all the facts. Since the University of Alaska budget cuts, tuition has increased, programs have been cut or reduced, and enrollment has declined from 26,000 students in 2019 to just over 20,000 in 2023. That is 6,000 less people spending money at our small businesses, filling jobs, bringing innovation and economic diversity to our state, and considering making Alaska their home. That is Alaska residents leaving the state to pursue higher education, with many remaining out of state rather than bringing their skills back to Alaska's economy and job market. The university is not partisan. Bethany Markham was on the Alaska Redistricting Board, which is also nonpartisan. In fact, it is mandated by our state constitution to be nonpartisan. While on that board, Markham pushed through a highly partisan, community-damaging, and ultimately illegal political gerrymander. This cost the state over $1 million in legal fees and would have muffled the voices of diverse and economically disadvantaged communities in East Anchorage, whose overwhelming testimony she ignored, had it been successful. I believe that appointees to this board should be willing to act in the best interest of the university in an honest, ethical, and open-minded way with the ability to recognize and correct the direction of failed policy. I do not believe that Bethany Markham is the right fit for this board and ask that you do not confirm. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Silver. We are going to move to under SB 97. There's an individual named May Picta. May Picta, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, Senator Tobin and Senate Education Committee members. My name is May Picta. I am a teacher in the Lower Yukon School District. And I live in Russian Mission and teach pre-kindergarten and kindergarten at Russian Mission School. I was born and raised in Russian Mission. I have witnessed as a student and a teacher the high rate of teacher turnover. This is my 29th year teaching, so if I had to think of all the turnover, it would be hard to remember everyone who had come and gone. Quality teachers have been an important part of my life. I have been fortunate to be able to live in and teach in the community I was raised in. While I wish more people from Russian Mission pursued teaching careers, it remains my hope that some of my students will follow my path. To ensure that we give students access to quality teachers, I want to go on record to show support for Senate Bill 97. Longevity incentives with lump sum payments are one of the steps that can be taken to support and attract teachers. Teacher retention will remain an issue and will require some financial incentives to attract and retain quality teachers. Thank you for this opportunity to give testimony, and thank you for all the work you do to support educators and education in Alaska. Sincerely, May Picta.
Thank you so much, Ms. Picka. I apologize for that. There was a mislabeling on our public testimony. We hope you will call back in, or we will just record your testimony for SB 97. Moving on, we have Joan Franz from Fairbanks. Joan, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Okay. Hi, my name is Joan Franz, and I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska. My background is a pediatric occupational therapist, and I've worked in various jobs throughout the state as an infant learning, starting an infant learning program for Tananoches, working for the Fairbanks School District, and I'm currently a member of the Fairbanks Spaces FAS diagnostic team and a private small business owner here in Fairbanks. I believe that quality education and healthcare are essential needs in our community right now, and I'm asking the Senate committee to vote no on UA Board of Regents appointee Bethany Markham. Her personal positions through her work as a CEO at Alaska Policy Forum indicate that she does not support nor understand the importance of quality education at all levels in the state. Cutting public education funding does not improve education, and that has been her solution when she cheered the Ardoin Dunleavy education budget cut. She consistently shows a lack of understanding for, she consistently has not supported financial funding for education at all levels in our state and shows a lack of understanding and support for the UA system. The degrees available in our UA system are desperately needed in our state and were damaged by previous cuts. In turn, these cuts have not only affected education, but greatly affected the Fairbanks economy and educational opportunities for all Alaskan students. We desperately need more teachers, healthcare professionals, and engineers in our state. I encourage the committee, please do not support Bethany Markham as an appointee. Her votes and views are clearly just partisan and in lockstep with the governor. She has not offered any creative solutions to support the mission of the university and only cheers on budget cuts to the university system from her narrow partisan viewpoint. She does not qualify to me on a, to be sitting on the Board of Regents because of her past support of strictly budget cuts. And I want to thank the committee for listening and giving me an opportunity to express my thoughts. And thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Franz. Moving on to Joelle Hall in Anchorage. Joelle, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your public comments when you are ready.
Good afternoon, Senator and members of the committee for the record. My name is Joelle Hall. I'm the president of the Alaska AFL-CIO, and I'm calling in today to oppose the appointment of Bethany Markham to the Board of Regents. I oppose this nomination because Ms. Markham, like myself, has employment that makes her inappropriate to serve in this role. We have irreconcilable conflicts of interest. As the CEO of the Alaska Policy Forum, her job is to influence public policy. It says, though, right in their name, their mission statement is, our mission is to empower and educate Alaskans and policymakers by promoting policies that grow freedom for all. Her job is to advocate, and it may be for the positions that are contrary to the positions of the Board of Regents. In 2019, the Policy Forum supported the cuts to the university budget, and in fact, Ms. Markham spoke publicly in support of that budget, which would have devastated the university system. The forum routinely supports cuts to government and is currently actively opposing bills in this body to give our public employees, including the university staff and faculty, the option to return to a defined benefit pension. In her position, it is unreasonable to think that Ms. Markham can act autonomously. Just like I answer to tens of thousands of union members in over 50 affiliated unions, Ms. Markham answers to a board of directors and the state policy network, which provides the bulk of her funding. You also understand that my job is to advocate on behalf of faculty, staff, and to encourage all of you to improve their wages, their benefits, and their working conditions, and to support all attempts to organize. So, if you would be comfortable with me serving, understanding what my job requires and what my biases may be, I'm sorry, if you'd be uncomfortable with me serving, understanding what my job is, then you should also be uncomfortable with Ms. Markham serving. As leaders of our respective organizations, it's impossible for us to truly represent the needs of the university above the missions of our organizations without the risk of being fired at our day jobs. We have irreconcilable conflicts of interest. If this legislature decides to confirm Ms. Markham in spite of this glaring conflict, then I would like to offer myself, a UAF grad and the mother of two UAA students, as a volunteer to serve on the Board of Regents, and would look forward to being confirmed by the legislature. Go Nanooks. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. I agree with you. Go Nanooks. Next up is Kim Hayes from Anchorage. Kim, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Thank you, Chair Tobin and members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Kim Hayes. I live in Anchorage. I am calling in today to share my strong opposition to the appointment of Bethany Markham to the University of Alaska Board of Regents. I'm calling in today to urge you to halt this appointment. I received both my undergraduate and my graduate degrees from the University of Alaska Anchorage. I have enormous amount of pride in our university system as a whole, even if I do have a slight bias for Seawolves. I expect that the University of Alaska's Board of Regents will share that same pride in our system and do everything in their power to advocate for robust funding for all campuses. I don't think I need to tell all of you that Alaska is entering a phase where workforce development is going to be the name of the game for not just our university, but for all of Alaska's employers and programs. So in that vein, now is the time to ensure we have a board that understands that it is paramount to retain the faculty and staff that we have and encourage strong recruitment where we have needs. So simply put, our university needs all hands on deck to prepare our students for all the jobs coming our way. That's why it's so disheartening to see Ms. Markham sitting in front of you today as an appointee to that board. As many before me have said, but it cannot be said enough, we all remember pretty clearly the cuts proposed by Governor Dunleavy in 2019. They were a shock to the system. $130 million in cuts to the University of Alaska alone was unimaginable. As the majority of Alaskans made their voices heard loudly to the representatives asking them to oppose these draconian cuts, Ms. Markham chose to publicly support this budget and the cuts made to the university. In fact, it was the position of the organization she leads, the Alaska Policy Forum. And I think on record, they talked about the fact that these budget cuts were what Alaska needed to get back on track. And this brings to mind a quote I have heard from other testifiers on other issues in this body. The beatings will continue until morale improves. I can't understand how Ms. Markham will be a strong advocate for strengthening our university system if she publicly supported $130 million in cuts. It seems like a fox in the henhouse situation. And as an alumni who has three children who are potential UAA students, I am absolutely not interested in the gutting of my university. Please do not confirm Bethany Markham to the University of Alaska Board of Regents. And thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, McHayes. Next up, we have Mike Grunst from Anchorage. Mike, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Mike Grunst. I'm a resident of Muldoon, and I've lived in Alaska since about 1984. My views are my own and do not represent the Department of Defense or the Alaska National Guard. I'm calling in to oppose the nomination of Bethany Markham to the University of Alaska Board of Regents. Her position as CEO of the Alaska Policy Forum, an organization funded by outsiders and affiliated with the Freedom Network, shows that she will work in opposition to the best interests of the residents of the state of Alaska and the University of Alaska. Ms. Markham, through her role as the CEO of the Alaska Policy Forum, advocated for and championed the cuts to the university system in 2019. Quote, "We are in favor of the vetoes in terms of the dollar amount," end quote, Markham said after the $130 million veto. Markham told Alaska's news source in 2019, quote, "It's just not sustainable to continue to subsidize government with savings," end quote. Well, if we don't subsidize government from savings, Where do we get the money from? Under her leadership, her organization continues to aggressively advocate for private school vouchers in order to siphon money from public schools in order to fund religious institutions. Under her leadership, her organization advocates for tuition freeze and, quote, innovative spending reductions, end quote. Her short-sighted views were most recently on display in January, when her organization publicly opposed the two-person crew rule for railroads, and we can all see how that turned out in Ohio. The only corresponding correlation would be advocating for the complete dismantlement of the Prince William Sound oil response teams. I've listened to the testimony and heard people advocating for cuts, highlighting the nebulous group administration, aka the folks that are the principals, nurses, speech pathologists, special education teachers, janitors, bus drivers, maintenance workers, crossing guards, etc. In the military, we call this the tooth-to-tail ratio. For an airborne infantryman like myself, there are almost 30 support staff behind me to deliver me to the fight. It isn't efficient, but it is necessary. We need these administrative folks to make our schools safe and productive. When Texas, a tiny little state you may have heard of, was faced with a budget crisis in the late 70s and early 80s, their legislature took the long view and increased funding to their education system, particularly their universities. Here we are almost 40 years later, and their universities are consistently ranked among the highest in national comparisons. They draw students from around the country and around the world, creating an economic and education benefit for the entire state. This is what we need to do with our education system. We need to have a vision that encourages excellence in the primary and secondary schools, which allows them to succeed in our high-performing universities. The university should then be feeding the primary and secondary schools with the teachers, administrators, maintainers, and nurses our children need to succeed. Unfortunately, we are living up to our motto, the last frontier, last in safety for women and children, last in growth, last in community, and last in education, all because we Alaskans are refusing to take responsibility to invest in our most critical resource, education. Oh, wait, I stand corrected. The first and one metric, we're the least taxed state in the nation. We pay nothing for the services we receive from the state. Our 18 and 34-year-olds are fleeing the state in the numbers that are killing us. I heard another regent earlier today, Mr. Michelle, speak about the problem, about bringing up engineers from the lower 48 and then leaving the state after a year. As someone who brought in approximately $88 million of federal construction funds this year, only $1.2 million of which are requiring a state match, I understand the concerns he shared. We do not have the folks, the educated folks necessary to complete the jobs and may be losing out on those dollars. Continue to cut education and appoint anti-government folks like Ms. Markham, and you will continue to get a non-functional government. I'd like to remind everyone that we paid a $2 billion bribe to the citizens of the state, about $400 million of which immediately fled in the form of federal income taxes. We are a community of 750,000 people with $80 billion in the bank. We can solve the problems we are faced with. We just need to have the intestinal fortitude to do so. And we cannot do that with a member on the Board of Regents like Ms. Markham. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Mr. Grunst. Moving on to Alex Jorgensen in Anchorage. Alex, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Chair Tobin, members of the committee, just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify today in opposition of Bethany Markham's appointment to the UA Board of Regents. With no offense to any of the other campuses out there, but I'm a proud CWOLF alum and current graduate student at UAA. And, you know, I remember exactly where I was in February of 2019. I was sitting in a student union at UAA, and I opened up an email and saw that Dunleavy had proposed a $130 million cut to the university, a university that has given me all the tools that I've needed to be successful in my professional career. And I just kind of sat there, just dumbfounded and in utter disbelief of how anyone could propose such a reckless budget cut that would really ultimately dismantle the only public university system in Alaska. And I think what was even more puzzling to me was that there were several individuals and groups and organizations that actually supported these reckless cuts. And unfortunately, today, one of them is up for a appointment on the UA Board of Regents, and that's Bethany Markham. You know, personally, and I don't know about you, I can't square the fiduciary responsibility she would have as a regent to the university and responsibilities to do what's in the best interest of the students with her past actions. And you guys have heard a lot of testimony today, so I won't, you know, bore on, but I just wanted to say thank you for the opportunity and hope I can count on you guys to vote no on the confirmation of Bethany Markham to the UA Board of Regents. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alex. We now are moving to ANIAC, Herman Morgan. Herman, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
We can.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I support this nominee Beth for Board of Regents, and I'm deeply disappointed that you committee members, you're not representing education. We have the lowest test scores in the nation, and yet it's most expensive. And maybe she was right to ask for a cut, because if you continue with your what UAA and them are telling you, in a few years, you're crying about a $100 million cut. It's going to cost you $8 billion in a few years to pay your presenters. And you're not here really. And I deeply resent a couple of you members accusing the board of only being of one race. Because Martin Luther King, he said, it's not the color of your skin. It's the context of your character. And I'm glad you brought that up. But first, I'll start with one of them who questioned something happened 10 years ago. And how could you remember that? A lot of these callers are planned. I could see they're almost smug and giddy. Why don't you ask big questions? Right now, some schools are pulling out of the state school system. They're going to sue the state that the governor is telling us, teaching inappropriate classes. And when our native, it all starts in a think tank. There was a board member on a think tank who said, Alaska Natives are dumb. That's why we need more money to teach them. Is that why Jennifer Johnson said Natives are too dumb to spend the whole PFD? Is that why you guys are telling you guys need money to teach us Natives because we're dumb? It's not that because we're dumb, we're not being taught. You're sending us a bunch of foreigners. People are asking, who are these foreign gay teachers? And what class are they teaching? And there was a teacher who's harassing a girl for foreign teachers, harassing a girl here, and they transfer him to another village, and they start harassing people, and they close the school down. And there's teachers yelling at
Mr. Morgan, this is a confirmation hearing for a Board of Regents. I'd ask if you keep your comments related to the confirmation hearing.
It is. You guys are attacking her when she's trying to help fix. And if the governor says to sue
the school board, we should also look at the Board of Regents and the lawmakers of anti-parents' rights bills. And you guys are not providing education. Lastly, the lowest, and it does matter on the board of who you elect to the Board of Regents. I know you'd be giddy. You'll ask questions. A lot of people call, but you don't ask a parent what she's going on here. And we are looking for attorney. There's that LGBT class that taught. It didn't say, shall we teach your underage child lesbian, gay, Christian? No parent would sign that. So the kids are victims. And the lawmakers who passed these anti-right bills, I made the same testimony to them.
Mr. Morgan, we are here for a confirmation hearing. It's not a public testimony for any of the bills. I would ask that if you could wrap up your comments.
Who appointed a Board of Regents? You are. You guys will be responsible. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much, sir. Moving on to Alex Baker from Anchorage. Alex, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Thank you, Chair Tobin. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
All right. My name is Alex Baker. I'm calling in today representing myself. I'm a resident of South Muldoon, and I'm calling in to oppose Ms. Markham's appointment to the Board of Regents. Ms. Markham served on the Alaska Redistricting Board over the last couple years, and during that time, Alaska courts found she and her colleagues violated Alaska law twice. First, they violated the Equal Protection Clause of the Alaska Constitution. Second, the court also found her and her colleagues' use of executive sessions violated the Open Meetings Act and led violations of due process clause of the Alaska Constitution. It's pretty clear to me that she has had the opportunity to earn public trust, and she has not done that during her time in a position of immense responsibility. And I would like to invite all members, and especially members of this committee, to pore over the decision. I know you're all busy, but there are hundreds of pages documenting Ms. Markham's actions, many scathing remarks about Ms. Markham's conduct during that time from Justice Matthews. It's disappointing to hear Ms. Markham double down on her conduct when Justice Matthews clearly points out the conduct that led to the violation of the Open Meetings Act. It also tells me that she has not learned from this and will not be fit to serve in a role like Board of Regents. So again, I oppose her appointment to this board. I invite all members to read over the lawsuits from the redistricting trial. It will also prove to you all, I'm sure, that Ms. Markham is not fit to serve. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Alex. And for our last testifier on line today, we have Laura Bonner. Laura, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hi, my name's Laura Bonner, and I'm a retired Alaskan. I've been here over 50 years. And I oppose Stephanie Markham's confirmation to the UA Board of Regents. First of all, she publicly supported the $130 million cut to university a budget in 2019. Those cuts resulted in reduction of programs, reduction of research that Alaska industry needs, including fisheries and Arctic studies, but those aren't the only ones, and reduced enrollment, all combined to increase the out-migration of students and younger workers and their families because there are less opportunities for workforce development in Alaska. These cuts were very crippling for education, the opportunities to receive grants for research, and the list of deferred maintenance of facilities keeps getting bigger and longer and longer. I don't think that Ms. Markham's work and position with Alaska Policy Forum is a plus. Since that organization was formed, their research and recommendations are many times based on cherry-picked studies and facts that support only Alaska Policy Forum's principles, resulting in a very biased finding. Most of their funding comes from outside of Alaska. I also have very little confidence that Ms. Markham could serve in a nonpartisan manner. She couldn't as a member of the redistricting board, which is supposed to be a nonpartisan position. The University of Alaska is a public institution belonging to all Alaskans. While I've never attended UAA or UAF or any of the other ones that are in the UA system in my 50 years in Alaska, I recognize the economic value of the university and what it has provided to Alaska. Ms. Markham is a poor choice for the Board of Regents. Please do not confirm her appointment, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bonner. Seeing no other folks online, I'm going to close public testimony and ask for any wrap-up comments. Ms. Markham.
Thank you, Chair Tobin. As part of my wrap-up comments, I'd like the opportunity to address a couple of things that I just wanted to make sure that...
I do apologize. We have a very short window, and I want to make sure we get Paula, as we might not be able to have her back. So if you could be succinct, then we also have the opportunity to provide written comments.
Absolutely. So I just wanted everyone to know that I did meet with legal counsel regarding conflicts of interest, and they let me know that, and he's happy to put this in writing, but that there's no conflicts of interest that would preclude me from serving. Happy to provide that information. Today in House Education, I provided the full context of what some of the testifiers claimed as far as incorrectly that I championed the university's budget cuts. I'm happy to provide that context because that is incorrect. Alaska Policy Forum's board is made up of Alaskans, not folks in the lower 48. And I would just also ask that you please take a look at the letters of support that were submitted on my behalf from Alaskans from a wide variety of backgrounds regarding my conduct and my decorum, and use that as part of the context for making your decision. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. And I do apologize to Mr. Crum, as I do not believe we'll be able to get to you today, but I do want to get to Paula Harrison so that we have her here in person. And I know that she will provide hopefully some brief remarks, and then we can have some questions and open public testimony, which so far no one is online for. Ms. Harrison, welcome to the Senate Education Committee. If you could please make some opening remarks when you are ready.
Sure. My name is Paula Harrison. I have been in human resources and labor relations for over 40 years. Serving public and private sector. We have four children. Our three daughters are all proud graduates of the University of Alaska, two from the University of Alaska Anchorage and one from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I will say that our children are all very successful and are very proud of having attended the university. Hence one of the reasons that I'm here and I want to serve is to be able to give back what the university has given to my children. Our son did not go to the University of Alaska because he was a swimmer and he wanted to swim in college, so he went to the University of South Dakota. But I'll just be brief and not say more than that.
Thank you very much, Ms. Harrison. Are there any questions for Ms. Harrison? Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's the one question that I said I was going to ask everybody. Yeah, and so it's to do with the mission statements and the region's policy that emphasize the North and its diverse peoples, the circumpolar North and its diverse peoples, and honors the indigenous and diverse peoples of Alaska. So can you tell me your thoughts about diversity in general, the role of diversity at the university? Do you support these mission statements, and how will you as a region uphold the university's mission to honor the indigenous and diverse peoples of Alaska? Thank you.
Thank you. Well, absolutely, I support that mission statement. Being my profession, human resources, diversity, equity, and inclusion is something that's at the forefront of our minds. And so I'm happy to see that that is definitely part of the mission for the University of Alaska. I think it's not just, you know, I would broaden that if I could, because it's not just indigenous people, it's people of color, it's people that experience disabilities, of which I am one, and you know, it goes way beyond just what we're doing in the state of Alaska. Because if you look at our population, we're very broad. We have people that have come from all walks of life, people that were born and raised here, people that have moved up and said, "Oh, Alaska is my home," and have been here 40, 50, 60 years, even before statehood. So.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Additional questions, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also have a question I've been asking everyone, which is the vision question, and particularly for our smallest MAU. Can you talk about, you know, if you had the magic wand, what would you do with UAS?
Well, I can tell you that I worked for the university for 7 years, and my assignments were I was assigned to the University of Alaska Anchorage and the University of Alaska Southeast. So I served the University of Alaska Southeast for the 7 years that I worked for the university. Love the campus. I think it's absolutely beautiful, and the people that work there. I'm very supportive of UA Southeast. I think each of our universities, you know, when I say three different universities, are there to serve their communities, and their communities are definitely different. UA Southeast is different from UAA, that is different from UAF, where we do so much research. So definitely supportive of the university. I don't know what else to say as to how I could be supportive. In my role at the university, I was there when there were issues or concerns, there to help with administration, work with faculty and staff.
Follow up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's slightly different tack. Thank you for that. Extensive labor relations background, saw your resume, impressive. Kind of a different thing when it comes to university leadership at the Board of Regents level, hire and fire the president level, right? Can you talk to us about your concept of what shared governance is and ought to be? Are we doing it right? Should we do it differently?
I think you are doing it right. When I worked at the university, there is definitely shared governance with, we have faculty senates at each of the universities. We have faculty governance at each of the universities. And then statewide, you have the Faculty Alliance and the Staff Alliance. I worked with all of these organizations. So firsthand, I can tell you they definitely have input into what happens administratively at the university with the Board of Regents. One of the faculty groups I've met with already, and one of the governance groups, staff governance groups. So, of course, a lot of them were people that I've worked with in the past, but I believe that they do have, definitely have influence.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Any additional questions? The question I've been asking folks, or I've heard other committee members ask, is do you think the UA system is adequately funded?
Well, I guess you would need to define adequate, because education is lifelong, and that means that we have to look at our university system and make those determinations. And as a regent, that's one of the things that will be one of the charges that we have. Are we adequately funded? When I look at deferred maintenance, I would tell you are absolutely not adequately funded. Because if we don't have the good infrastructure, how are we going to provide university to each of these three communities and our outlying communities? So that's kind of a passion of mine, is deferred maintenance, because I just see that getting farther and farther behind. There needs to be a schedule of here's what happens this year, next year, the year after. Provide that information to the legislature so that we can get adequate funding for that. I don't know what else to say, but that's one of the things I think that's very important as far as funding and being adequately funded.
Thank you. Any additional questions? I will ask my last question, which I've asked of every candidate thus far. So UA Board of Regents is a governance board, and part of that is ensuring that you hold up the public trust. So what is your personal philosophy on public service and protecting the public trust in this role?
Well, I have served on many boards, as you can see from my resume, continue to serve on many boards. Most recently, in the state of Alaska, I was the chair of the Alaska Labor Relations Agency for 4 years. And you've got public trust is absolutely paramount. If for any reason people perceive you as not being someone that can be trusted, then the decisions that you make are nothing. They go nowhere. So to me, it's paramount.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Harrison. Mm-hmm. Any additional comments? I'm going to open public testimony. I'm seeing anyone here in the room wish to provide public testimony on this candidate. Seeing no one in the room, I'm looking online, and I see no one's online. So I'm going to close public testimony. Any closing comments?
Thank you very much for the opportunity to come and meet with everybody. It's good to see Senator Ray Jackson again. And Senator Stevens. I haven't seen you guys for a while, so nice to be down here.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Harrison. I apologize to the individual who's been waiting online so patiently. Mr. Crum, we will get to you. We promise we'll reschedule that at a later date, as many of us on what April 5th. We anticipate hearing from you on April 5th. Until then, Mr. Stevens, or excuse me, President Stevens.
The Senate Education Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees to the University of Alaska Board of Regents and recommends that the following names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Dennis Michelle, Bethany Markham, Paula Harrison. And this does not reflect the intent of any of the members of the Senate Education Committee to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purpose of confirmation.
Thank you very much, President Stevens. These names will be forwarded to a joint session of the Alaska State Legislature. I am going to adjourn for this evening as we are a little bit over time, and I know some of us have additional commitments we need to get to. For those who are looking forward to next week, we will be meeting on Monday, March 27th, and we will also be meeting on Wednesday, March 29th. We do not have a meeting on Friday, March 31st. With that, and there's no other business today before the Senate Education Committee, I'm adjourning at 5:03 p.m.